Greetings. This is the Reading Instruction Show. I am your genial host, Dr. Andy Johnson. The topic of today's podcast is Understanding the Limitations of Data and Research in Education. And this is an excerpt from a book I'm working on titled Understanding the Science of Reading, Context Matters, published by Guilford. Now, NAEP data, National Assessment of Educational Progress, it's collected by the U.S. Department of Education, shows that there is no massive reading crisis. It's a manufactured crisis. Yes, there was a COVID dip starting in 2020, but scores have remained relatively stable for the past two decades and have even risen slightly since 1971. But here's the thing, it's data, but NAEP scores are data, they're not research. Research is different from data. Now, data, these scores give us a sense of things, but we cannot use scores like this to establish causality, that one thing caused another to occur. It's data, it's not research. We cannot say for absolute certainty that the COVID crisis was the cause of the dip in reading scores from 2019 to 2022. Yes, there is a correlation or a correlation here, but correlation does not infer causation. While a causal relationship seems likely, we cannot be absolutely certain that one thing caused the other thing to occur. It could be that the dip in scores was caused by another coinciding incident. Perhaps it was the two asteroids that flew close to Earth in 2019. After all, reading scores were just fine until these two asteroids flew by. Or maybe it was Hurricane Dorian. Or maybe it was a South Korean boy band. Or maybe it was... You get the picture. You see where this leads us. Assigning causality to things by mere association is not science. It's pseudoscience, and it leads to all sorts of problems. Now, yes, there's a natural human tendency to attribute causality to incidents that occur together close in time. When a bad thing happens, we instinctively look back for something else that happened and assign blame to it. We do this to prevent future bad things from happening. And on a personal level, it's natural to ask the theological question, why is this happening to me? Or what have I done to deserve this? It's an instinctive reaction, done to make sense of things and to try to control the world around us. And when the ancients forgot to offer up a prayer or a sacrifice before an unsuccessful hunt, it was logical to assume that one thing caused the other to occur. And when plagues and sickness occurred, any rational person would determine it was caused by the unusual conjunction of planets. And when the cows died after a witch gave them the stink eye, it was just good science to burn the witch. Everybody knows that. Burning witches was an evidence-based practice. But the problem with randomly assigning causality in a universe that has quite a few coinciding incidents going on all the time is that you're going to be wrong many more times than you're going to be right. And there may be a few witches burned along the way. Oh well, you say. Real science does not randomly assign causes to things. Yet we see this smorgasbord of causality used to explain all sorts of problems in education. It's the breakdown of the family unit. It's a lack of prayer in public schools. It's an increase in violent video games. It's inappropriate song lyrics. It's critical race theory. It's DEI practices. It's ideological approaches. It's federal government and education. It's teachers' unions. These have all been assigned as causes of something bad that is happening in education. And for problems related to reading, my goodness, science of reading advocates claim it's whole language. It's the three cueing systems. It's the lack of phonics instruction. It's balanced literacy instruction. Teachers aren't getting evidence-based training. Teacher preparation programs are not doing their job. Teacher educators are not teaching the right things. Schools aren't screening for dyslexia. And so on and so on and so on. But what's truly unique about the science of reading movement is that causality has been assigned to something that hasn't actually happened. That is, a massive drop in reading scores. In other words, the science of reading has assigned causality to an effect that never really occurred. Imagine that. But even if there were a massive reading crisis, which there isn't, you can't simply run around assigning causes to things based on preconceived ideas or anecdotal evidence or personal experiences. That's not how real science works. Now let's take a look at stovepiping. In 2003, that word, stovepiping, entered into my lexicon. That's the name for the presentation of data without proper context or analysis. It's called raw data. In 2003, such raw data were collected by intelligence agencies, by the U.S. government. But before it could be properly evaluated and analyzed, data were sent up the stovepipe to Vice President Cheney. In the accumulated pile of decontextualized data, confirmation bias was used to find the data he wanted to find. Based on the data, a case was made for the invasion of Iraq by the U.S. military. Now, it was factually accurate to say that the vice president had data showing that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. They even sent General Colin Powell to the United Nations to present this data to the world. And in terms of performance style, this was a wonderful presentation with pictures and charts and other visual aids, including a vial of white powder. However, it turns out this raw data were not very accurate or complete. The data were pulled out of context and not properly analyzed. Oops. Now that's an extreme example of what can happen when data is presented out of context. I only mention this because it's similar to what has been done to suggest there's a reading crisis. Emily Hanford and other journalists continue to use confirmation bias, looking for bits of decontextualized data to create the illusion of a reading crisis. And as stated before, there is simply no irrefutable evidence that there is a national crisis in reading. And yet, here we are. Context matters. Let's take a look at research. Research must always be understood in the context of other research studies. For example, Stephen Cousier in 2016 conducted a very interesting study where he had fourth grade students read complex text aloud, followed by a retelling for comprehension. The number and type of miscues were noted, as well as students' comprehension scores. And he found that students who read with meaning-maintaining miscues, meaning they weren't exactly what was on the page, but they still made sense, were more likely to comprehend information than students who read with no miscues or 100% word reading accuracy. Now, this doesn't prove anything, but this study helps us to further understand the reading process. It doesn't use controlled experimental design to determine the cause of things. However, we can infer that word reading accuracy may be overrated. And perhaps, if students attend overly much to the surface structure of the sentence, they may miss some of the deep structure or meaning when reading complex texts. It doesn't prove this, but it suggests this. But to get a better understanding, this study needs to be put in the context of Kusir's other research, as well as eye movement and miscue analysis research conducted by others, as well as research looking at word reading accuracy and comprehension. Research must always be understood in the context of other research studies. One study may support a theory, but by itself, it doesn't prove anything. And by the way, in the social sciences, there is not a single piece of research that proves anything conclusively once and for all. When dealing with human beings, there are simply far too many variables. Now, analogies are good to help us understand things. And the best analogy I can find related to understanding the necessity of context when looking at educational research is related to deer hunting. I grew up in a deer hunting culture. And every fall, we would sight in our rifles to see if the gun was aligned with the scope. It's very common for the scope to get bumped during the year. So you'd go out to the range and shoot at a target 100 yards down the range to see where your rifle was shooting and to determine if you needed to adjust the scope. But you didn't just take one shot. One shot could have been an outlier. You could have been shaking. Your platform could have wiggled, or you may have flinched when you pulled the trigger. Instead, you took several shots to see where the grouping was, and you adjusted your scope accordingly. And the more shots you took, the more confident you could be in the alignment of your scope. So it is when looking at reading research. You can't look at a single study to determine anything conclusively. Instead, you look at a variety of research studies from a variety of fields using a variety of methodologies to get a sense of things. And the more research you look at, the more confident you can be that you have an accurate sense of things. Now, I mentioned this briefly before. Research doesn't prove anything, at least not in the social sciences. There is no single research study that conclusively proves anything once and for all about reading instruction. Research may support a hypothesis. It may provide evidence for something, show something, indicate something, or demonstrate something. But in the social sciences, research doesn't prove things. The results may indicate, implicate, or illustrate, but educational research doesn't prove things. So, science of reading advocates often claim that there is a proven science of reading. But when looking at human beings and working with variable human beings interacting in variable social situations, there are simply too many variables to say that something proves something else conclusively. Instead, research provides evidence for things. And a lot of research provides strong evidence, and a little research provides weak evidence. There are evidence-based practices, but there is no proven science of reading. As well, even if you say something is evidence-based, it says nothing about the quality of evidence or the validity of the evidence. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I am your host, as always, Dr. Andy Johnson.